Well, good afternoon, everyone. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that no one who is begotten of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the power of the evil one, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the scriptures that I kind of hung out this morning in prayer. And we've been spending a lot of time last few months with a couple of interruptions talking about prayer. And that there are three assignments in prayer. And one of them is intimacy. The other one is discovery. And the third one, of course, is partnership, intercession, personal petition. The intimacy part and discovery are so important to all of us because the scripture says we live by the words that proceed out of his mouth. And there's nothing more fun for me than to do less of the talking in my time in prayer because that means God's doing a lot of talking. And usually for me, it's through scripture and it just ministers life to me. And what happened was, often in my prayer life, I'll find a book and I'll read a little bit of a book. It's just part of the conversation with the Lord. So I have this book, it's like 100 and something years old, just got it in the mail. And you know it's a good book when you turn to the page where the first chapter begins, there's an opposite page and I just list three scriptures and you never even get to the first word where it actually begins. Because he listed the scripture and I thought, wow, this got my attention in a profound way. There are three things here, he says, that we know. That really got my attention. There are things that we know or things as believers we should know. Now, let me just give you some understanding of verse 18. When he talks about being born or begotten of God, he says he talks about it twice. He's talking about the Lord Jesus here. Okay? So understand, this is the great author of John 15 about abiding in Christ. Of all the apostles, he wrote more. In terms of the original 12, he wrote more about being in Christ than the other did. Now, the great writer was Paul, but he was, of course, not one of the 12. When he says that we know that the one, that no one who's begotten of God sins, the word there literally is a lifestyle of sin. But he, Jesus, who is born of God, keeps him, us, and the evil one does not touch us. First time I ever heard that scripture from that perspective was many, many years ago, decades ago, from my spiritual father. And I hadn't thought about this in a long, long time. And the scripture just reminds me, blows me away, that our victory over sin, its reign in our life, over moods and dispositions and attitudes and actions and words, is guaranteed in Christ. Earlier in this chapter, he talks about overcoming because of our faith. Overcoming, he being the overcomer, Christ, and our faith in him, step by step. And the guarantee is that this, that he, Jesus, who's born of God, doesn't live a lifestyle of sin. And he, who is born of God, and here's the language, continually keeps us. And the evil one cannot even touch us. Now, does that say that if you try your best and out of pure sincerity not to sin, you won't sin? Doesn't say that at all. The only hope I have for victory over sin is my union with Christ and allowing him and trusting him to keep me, which he says he promises he'll do. It's not by sincere best effort. It's by his victorious effort. He lives inside of me, and he doesn't live a life of sin. And if I abide in him, not only does he keep me, the enemy can't even touch me. I understand about spiritual warfare. I understand there's a real devil. Like I've said many times, I believe there is a devil. Of course I do. I just don't believe in the devil. I just refuse to give him the credit that he can, like, destroy and do things in my life if I'm abiding in Christ. It says he can continually not even touch me. That's a great thing to know, that Jesus Christ knows how to live a sin-free life. He's prepared to live that life in us. Are we going to make choices to not trust him? Yes. And thank God when we do, the same writer of the same letter says we can confess our sins knowing that we're forgiven and we'll be cleansed again. But there is a promise of victory. That's encouraging to me because I don't want my Christian life just to be an up and down life. Are there going to be times when we blow it? Yes, because we choose to not abide. But I don't want to feel like I'm condemned to that I'm just doing the best I can and I'm trying to make improvement. Christianity is a transformation, not an improvement program. But the good news is that quit trying, because that's just going to cause you to be frustrated and full of guilt and shame. Start trusting. He alone keeps you. You can't keep yourself from sin. You with me? It's futile. Oh, but I just pray all the time. You can't keep yourself from sin. He alone can keep you and can keep the enemy from touching you. So the little prayer I pray all the time when I find myself getting tempted to whatever it might be, I just thank Jesus for being my victory and for enforcing his victory in this moment. And he always does. Does sometimes I forget to remember? Yes. And then he applies the victory of his shed blood and his forgiveness. But it's nice to know you don't have to live controlled by your personality anymore. Your personality, my personality, is meant to be this prisms of God's life, Jesus' life, being reflected through our uniqueness. Not an excuse to be ornery and moody and ugly and impatient. You with me? That he says this, he says, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Wow, what a statement. You want to know why things are so messed up out there? You don't need to go to MSNBC or Fox News to tell you. The whole world lies under the power of the evil one. But he said, we know, though, we're of God. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Too often, those of us who've been rescued act like those who are still captive. And then the third thing he says here, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. I love that word. It's written in a tense. It means he's completely given you the capacity and the faculties to understand, goes on and says, in order that you might know him who is true. Jesus, because of my union with him, has given me the capacity, the mind of Christ, to know God. And the word know there is that wonderful word to experience. And the language there is to continually and progressively experience. And we know that he who is born of God, the Son of God, has come, has given me understanding, the capacity to know God, to experience him. That's what it says in John 17:3, that this is eternal life, that you might know him, experience him. Not just head knowledge, but experience him. Experience him and his Son, Jesus Christ, for this is eternal life. Now listen to scripture again. We know that the Son of God has come, has given us understanding in order that we might experience God who is true. And we are in him who is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is true God and eternal life. And what's he say here? He said, look, Jesus has come because of your union. He's given you his mind, your capacity to experience God. As a matter of fact, you're in him. You're in union with God because you're in Christ, who is true. Now, what does that mean on a practical level? One, in light of what he just said, we're of God. Those of the world lies in the power of the evil one. I don't have to live being deceived by what the world says and what the news tells me. I'm in union with Christ. And in union with Christ, I'm in union with his relationship with the Father and the Son. And I can see from that perspective. That's why I say all the time, we've got to learn how to see and from the inside out. Not from the outside in, or it'll really get confusing. If the whole world is lying under the power of the evil one, why would we listen to anyone who's not a bona fide, bug-eyed, crazy, lunatic, abiding in Christ Christian? So I'm certainly not going to get any tips from the internet. But I love the fact that he says, we know that we can walk in victory over sin because Christ can keep us. And the enemy can't even touch us. He tells us that we know that we're of God. We're not of the world. And God is true. And he alone. There can be no truth calculated apart from him. And then he says that because we're in Christ, we get to actually participate in his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Not only does he keep me from sin, keep the enemy from touching me, he has drawn me in to participate in his reliable relationship with the God who is true, with the Father and the Son. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. He accepts me and embraces me as much as he loves Jesus. He's prepared to share his heart with me in intimacy. Isn't that amazing? that I have the same relationship. I get to participate in Jesus's relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's not only a secure place, it is an absolutely mind-blowing, fascinating place, because it's endless. The discoveries are endless. How much does the Father love Jesus? How much does the Father love the Holy Spirit? How much does the Holy Spirit love the Father and the Son? That's what I've been brought into because I'm in Christ. You're not trying to earn your way into anything. You're already there. You're not trying to climb the mountain. You were born on top. You don't have to have breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough to get to that place of intimacy. You were born into it. Open your eyes and celebrate the acceptance, the wonder, the passion that he has for us, because I'm in Christ. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.